Welcome to another episode of Quick Tips for Dads. My name is Randy, and I'm very excited to bring you part 6 in this 9-part series on 9 ways to be a better father right now. My reaction to DailyDad.com's article, 9 ways to be a better father right now. Today I will discuss getting to know your kids, tip number 6 from this article. I hope that it can add value to your life, and enjoy as we discuss getting to know your kids. What is up, guys? Randy here with Quick Tips for Dads. I'm very excited to be with you again today. Today's episode, I will discuss tip number 6 from 9 Ways to Be a Better Father Right Now, an article from DailyDad.com that I found impactful, and I hope as I share it, it can be impactful to all of you. So tip number 6 is, it just the tip itself says, get to know your kids. The author says, do you know your kid's favorite flavor of ice cream? Do you know their favorite book or movie? Do you know what kind of music they like? Most of us really don't pay attention to the things our kids care about. We see them out of the corner of our eyes, but we rarely engage with them to get a deeper sense of who they are. Don't miss out on their little world when they're small. Or the way they view things when they're older. A big part of the reason kids misbehave is because they want attention from their parents, or because they feel their parents don't understand them. You'll be amazed how spending time with your kids, doing the things they love to do, will build rapport and eliminate a lot of negative behaviors. Do your kids like basketball? Take them to a basketball game. Do they like playing tea party? Get down on the floor and pretend to drink Earl Grey and munch on biscuits. Years down the road, you won't regret missing a football game. You will regret not knowing your kids. And I thought this was just a very interesting thing to talk about today, because my little boy, he's only 2, almost 2. And I'm sure I will screw this up along the way, but I think this is a valuable thing, because my little boy has shown interest in a few different things, and it's hilarious just how much he loves them. He was given, I don't even know where he got it, but he saw tractors out on the street. We live in Idaho, and there's some farms around us, and he saw some tractors and some different just heavy construction machinery. And right next door to us, there was a house being built. So every now and again, there was a big backhoe and different things around. And he would just look out the window in awe. He loves tractors. I say, let's go for a ride, buddy. And he comes with me and we go look for tractors. One time we even pulled up a half an hour YouTube video that was literally just tractors and very calm music. And he sat there in awe for half an hour watching tractors. And it was the sweetest thing, because he loved it. He just thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And, you know, that's awesome. Good for him. And he's developing these interests. He loves books. He loves Paw Patrol. He loves Bluey, if you've ever watched that. On Disney Plus, he loves music. He's starting to say things and to really talk and express himself a lot more. And it's really fun. And it's made me think of, oh man, he's going to have his own interest before I know it. He's going to be wanting to do different things. I've always hoped that my kids take an interest in ice hockey, because I grew up playing ice hockey and I loved it. My wife always hoped that they would play soccer, and, you know, hopefully maybe he'll like soccer. I don't know. But I hope that as a parent, while I want to be a positive influence and I want to influence somewhat of their decisions and introduce them to things that I love because I think they might love them, I need to respect their worldview and understand that they might be interested in things that I'm just not interested in. And, you know, while our little guy's just little, it's easier to not worry about what his interests are yet, because he hasn't really spent much time developing them. He loves different foods, and we've kind of learned what foods he loves. He loves blackberries and raspberries, and he just thinks those are the greatest things in the world. He loves them so much. So I think I'm learning and I'm trying to figure out his interests while he's still little, and I hope that I can do well as he grows, as he goes to school, does other things and extracurricular activities and other just other life interests that pop up, whether it's music, sports, farming with tractors, who knows. I hope that I can encourage those, because that's what we need to do if we want to connect with somebody. Connecting with them with our own interests and our own desires usually doesn't work. If we want to connect with somebody, it usually takes us shutting up about ourselves and finding some connection with what they like and how we can relate to it. One example of this is kind of maybe a silly example, but there was somebody that I used to work with that I really struggled with, and I really didn't care for this guy. And I don't know how he felt about me, but he was kind of difficult to work with at times. And I saw one day he was wearing a Marvel shirt, and this was kind of in the middle of the craze of Marvel. So it was popular, but it wasn't this as popular as it maybe it is now and as commonplace. And I said, "Oh, you're a Marvel fan. Tell me more about that." And it was interesting. I noticed that his face lit up as he wanted to tell me about something that he was interested in, that I took just a 3-minute interest in to be kind to him. But that gave us a new way to connect with each other, and it changed the way that our relationship was. And this happens with so many different relationships in our lives. If we are so focused on what we like that we think nobody else likes what I like, we're going to miss out on a lot of good relationships simply because we're worried about other people liking what we like instead of being curious about what they like and connecting with them on their level. So I think that's a really important point, that we connect on somebody else's level as we work through different relationship things. I remember at another job that I was at, I was being taught certain accounting functions. And whenever I'd ask a question, I would... And maybe I didn't ask it well, but I'd ask different people and I would usually get different answers. Most of the time it was the same answer, but a different method on how to get that answer. And it was frustrating to me because when I'd ask one person, I would get an answer that was just over my head, that was so complex and so annoyingly difficult that I just didn't get it. But then would ask this other supervisor, he would start almost treat me like as if I didn't know anything, and it would make me feel dumb a lot. And that was frustrating too, because he wasn't at my level. He assumed I was stupid and needed to be taught. But what really would have helped me, and what I try and do when I teach really anything to anyone on a one-on-one basis, is I try and ask questions to see what they know, and I try and really understand where they are, so that I am not duplicating work, but I'm also not frustrating them going over, up and over their heads when I try to explain something to them. Lately, it's been helping my wife with her homework. She's doing an Excel class right now. And if you know anything about Excel, there is the easy functions and there are more difficult functions and ways to use it a little more complex. And she gets overwhelmed sometimes by it, and when I try and go help her, I have to watch myself, because I did accounting for 3 years and spent every day in Excel and picked up a few things and feel pretty comfortable with it along the way. But she is not comfortable with it, and so I have to be really careful when I help her to try and not be condescending and get where she is and get onto her level, but at the same time, not explain something that she already has down. And I think that can apply to our kids. We need to get on their level when we get to know them. We need to work at coming to them at their level, because we can't expect them to act and be like an adult, because they just are not adults. They don't have the 30, 20, 40, however many years of experience that you have of life. They have 2, like my son does, 10, 15. They don't have the life experiences that we have. So when we get to know them, it has to be on their level, and it can't be us pushing our own agenda onto them. It has to be on their level, because that's where the real relationships come. The last paragraph or last sentence of this section of this article, the author says, "Parents who make time for their kids watch their kids grow up happier and more well-adjusted, which in turn translates to your kids fostering more positive relationships throughout their lives. Parents who are checked out often see their kids move away and not bother to look back." Now, I don't know about anyone out there listening, but to me, if my kid turns 18, moves out, and wants nothing to do with me, that would be one of the most devastating things to happen that I can imagine happening. I know I've got some friends that they don't want much to do with their parents, and it's really sad. And I've got friends that call their parents every day, every other day, just to check in and tell them they love them. And that, to me, that's what I hope my kids will do. I hope that I can cultivate that relationship with my son and any future children to help them be well-adjusted and help them to have a good relationship with me, because my job is not to be some authoritarian that just wields a hammer of justice that is coming down on and disciplining. And my job is to teach them and to help them grow. And if I don't know my kids, how can I do that? If I can't teach them something with a topic that they love, for example, what if they're struggling in math in school? Well, when they say, "I'm just dumb," say, "Well, no, you're not dumb." You know, say your kid loves basketball, just an easy example. On the very first try you ever shot a three-pointer, did you feel comfortable doing it? Well, no, obviously. And it's the same thing with math, with accounting, with English, with whatever. Your first try is the most uncomfortable one. And usually that is the starting point, and we have to understand that it's okay to mess up. But we can teach them through their interests and help them grow if we know what they love and what they like to do and just know our children. So I hope that you can take anything from this that will benefit your life and make you a better parent, because I know that this will help my life. And I really appreciate DailyDad.com for sharing messages daily and all the other content out there that is trying to make dads better dads. There is a podcast that I love called The Mindset Mentor, and his invitation is always every day, go out there and make someone else's day better. So I guess my invitation is similar to that, is go out there and be a better father and make your kid's day better and make your spouse's day better, so that you can have a better life and that you can be the best father that you can be. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you all next time. Peace. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Quick Tips for Dads. My name is Randy, and I will bring this content to you. My goal is 3 times a week. I'm hoping to have some interviews coming up with some individuals who I think are doing a very good job as dads and balancing a career, balancing being a father, school, other things that they're trying to do. And I hope that they can bring you a lot of value as well. If you haven't already, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Go out, follow us on Facebook at Quick Tips for Dads. We've got a page up there. Go ahead and give us a follow on Instagram as well, so that we can bring you solid content on a consistent basis. Thanks again. We'll talk to you all next time.